Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the blessings you have poured upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in and with us. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your protection and preservation in our lives. Thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you, Lord, for covering us with your feathers, shielding us against deadly attacks from the enemy. Thank you, Father. We thank you because you have not allowed the plans of the enemy to prevail over us. You have glorified yourself in our lives. You have glorified your name in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the light of your word that is shining in our hearts and minds. We thank you because the light of your word is exposing darkness and directing us to walk in the truth and to walk in your ways. Thank you, Father. We also thank you for how you have changed our lives through the revelations of your kingdom, the revelations of your righteousness, the revelations of your will. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you have begun to do in us. And we know that the good work you have started in us, you shall perfect it. And by the time you are done, our lives shall not remain the same again. Thank you, Father. Lord, we have come at your feet to learn your word, to learn your ways, your truths, your mysteries. I ask, O God, that through your Holy Spirit in us, minister to every heart that will be listening at this time in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you will not be distracted during the course of this teaching, and that you will humble yourself and listen attentively to learn in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do unto us beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And we are going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. Remember that we have been looking at the title that says, Building a Strong Discerning Spirit. And we are in part one, which is the origin, capacity, and abilities of the human spirit. So I have spoken on 2 points in this part one. So there are other points. So we are moving to the next point, which is your spirit holds the mysteries of immortality. Your spirit holds the mysteries of immortality. Yeah. We want to know the abilities, the capacity of our human spirit. And I said that your spirit holds the mysteries of immortality, meaning that in your spirit are the mysteries of immortality. I believe you know that when God created Adam or Adam, he was created to live forever. He wasn't created to die. Man was created to live forever. So what was going to sustain man forever was in the spirit of man. What was going to make man live forever was in the spirit of man. Yeah, I believe you know that. And how we are so sure, or how I am so sure, that man was created to live forever is the fact that the age of the people from the time of Adam, their age were not short. I think Adam lived 900-something years. Yeah, so the men of those days began to live over 900 years. So which is not common. Yeah, so it means they were not actually created to die. It was the fall that made man to be defeated by death. It was that disobedience in the Garden of Eden. So man was not actually created to die. So you will see it in the lifespan of those people that began to live from shortly after Adam left Eden, or Adam was cast out of Eden and began to produce children. Yeah, if you look at the age of that generation, you will see that their lifespan was very long. They were not dying young. They were living hundreds of years. Yeah. So meaning that in their spirits, there is, or there was, immortality in their spirit. Yeah. And which means in your own spirit, as you are hearing my voice right now, there is immortality in your spirit. So the spirit God gave man was meant to make him live forever and not to die. It was sin that brought death upon man. It was sin that made us slaves to death. Yeah, and maybe God wouldn't have reduced the lifespan. Maybe up till now we'll still be living up to maybe 800 or 900 years. But if you read Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, you begin to see how the wickedness of man multiplied on earth to the point that God began to regret that he created man. He said imaginations in the hearts of men were evil continually. And God said, I'm going to reduce the lifespan of these people. So God later reduced our lifespan to 120. Yeah. So meaning that hardly will people live more than that. Though some might live more than 120 years, but hardly will they live more than that. Except with grace. If God give you grace, you might live more than 120. Even at that time, you might start having a dementia, and even your sight might not be okay anymore. You might not see properly again. So that is death. I know many people appreciate their birthdays. I know many Christians celebrate birthdays and they are so happy, excited when they are growing old. But actually we should not be excited because we are growing old, because it is a curse that we are growing old. We are not supposed to grow old. Now, I'm not saying you should not celebrate birthdays. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that there's no point celebrating birthdays. Yeah, because it brings the remembrance of how we fail from hidden. Because we are not supposed to grow old. And we are not supposed to die. Yeah, so celebrating, I would prefer celebrating God's faithfulness. I would prefer celebrating God's mercies, celebrating your salvation in God, how old you are in God, or how old you are as a Christian since when you became born again. Yeah, I would prefer celebrating spiritual things than celebrating that you are growing old. To me, I feel like it should not be celebrated. Like, if it should be celebrated, it should be like I'm celebrating that Jesus has been good to me. Jesus has been faithful to me. Jesus has kept me from troubles, from destruction. Jesus has been taking good care of me. Not that, thank God I'm 60 years. Thank God I'm 70 years. I don't think we should be celebrating that. Yeah, to me, I think it's a shame celebrating that. Because we were not actually supposed to die. We were not created to grow old. Yeah, but that doesn't mean if you celebrate it is a sin. I'm just telling you my own point of view. You know, sometimes people say I don't think like others think. Yeah, I'm just telling you my own point of view. So now let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Genesis 3. Verse 22. Yeah, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Yeah. So you can see from that verse that man was created to live forever. Yeah. Immediately man took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, now it is forbidden for man to live forever because man disobeyed the instruction. God gave the instruction, don't eat of this tree, because the day you eat of this tree, you will die. Yeah. So we don't know if man have been eating from the tree of life. Prior to that time, we're not told if man have been eating from the tree of life. Yeah. And we're not told if man have not been eating from the tree of life. But what we're told is that because man now has embraced darkness through disobedience, so man is not supposed to live forever. So God cast man out of the Garden of Eden so that he will not taste of the tree of life. Yeah. The question is, what exactly did the fruits of the tree of good and evil, what exactly does that fruit did to man that made man to die spiritually, or that made man's eyes to be opened? And, you know, to the point that God said, now man has become one of us to know good and evil. You might be asking that, number one, what does eating that fruit did to man that make his eyes to open? And number two, what is bad in knowing good and evil? Yeah, what is bad in knowing good and evil? Why would God not want Adam and Eve to know good and evil? And what is in that fruit that made it open the eyes of Adam and Eve? Yeah, I just feel like I should ask these two questions because I'm going to answer them also. It is part of teaching to generate questions and then to answer. Yeah. The first question, what is in the fruit of the tree of good and evil that made the eyes of both of them open? Yeah. Recently, maybe a day ago or 2 days ago, but very recently, maybe yesterday, the Holy Spirit was telling me that man was being activated prematurely. Yeah, when he ate that fruit, man was being activated prematurely. So it was not yet time for man to be aware of certain things. So the knowledge of good and evil God was referring to at that time is a kind of awareness, like self-awareness. Awareness of who you are. Awareness of why you were created. Like full awareness of who you are, of why you were created, and what you are able to do. I mean, the abilities in you. Yeah, so it's like man became fully aware. Yeah, man became fully aware of of the realm of knowledge. Prematurely, man became fully aware of certain things when he is not ready. Yeah, he is not ready to know those things. That is the way that the Holy Spirit explained it to me. So, being that God wanted man to live and survive by depending on him. I mean, the man God created in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, him and his wife, God wanted them to depend on him. God wanted them to trust him by obeying whatever he tells them. Yeah. So meaning that there are certain things God was not explaining to them. He would just tell them, do this, do that. So he would not say, this is why you are doing this. This is why you are doing that. This is all that this entails. So God was not giving them full details of many things. He just wanted them to trust him. And as they were trusting him, they were getting to know God bit by bit. Yeah, they were getting to know God gradually as they were trusting God. But God did not activate them to know many things. Just as angels are able to know a lot. So God did not create man the way he created angels. So angels, from the time they begin to exist, angels are beings that are fully activated to know good and evil, to know many things that pertains to their identity, pertains to their creation, pertains to their purpose on earth. Yeah, but God did not create man that way. God wants man to trust him, depend on him, and believe him. So meaning that God wants to be able to say, don't eat of this fruit. And man should not ask questions and say, but why would you say I should not eat of this fruit? God does want man to be obedient without asking questions, without wanting to know much details. Why? Because man will still know those details at the time God wants man to know. I don't know if you're getting the point. So God wants man to know certain things at the time they are mature enough to know those things. Yeah. And that is the time that not the knowledge will not destroy them. You know, knowledge can destroy, revelations can destroy. There are some things that you are not supposed to know. You, enemy of God, you might, misbehave and fall. That is why one of the greatest enemies of God are the people who have some revelations of God. I mean, one of the greatest enemies of God are the people God has shown himself to at certain levels. I mean, they have known God to certain points, and despite that they knew God, they still turn against God. For example, King Solomon was given so much wisdom, and yet he caused great havoc against the kingdom of God. He sinned against God and I'm not sure he made heaven. I think Solomon did not make heaven because of the kind of life he lived. Even though he had great wisdom and he was even able to write scriptures, he wrote Proverbs, he wrote Ecclesiastes, but yet he failed God. So my point is that God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it will destroy you. It will awaken you to what you are not ready for, what you are not matured to handle. Yeah, so that was why God told them not to eat of that fruit. Yeah. Because it was going to activate them prematurely to a realm of knowledge that is going to pollute them and corrupt them. Yeah, because eventually God will not be there for them. Yeah, which is true. After they had that fruit, God wasn't there for them again. It was Satan that was there for them and the fallen angels. And since that time, the fallen angels began to deceive mankind. They led man into idol worshiping. The fallen angels led man into all kinds of things, into making walls, into using false beauty, and many things the fallen angels taught men to do that were not part of the original plan of God. So the point is that God does not want man to be aware of himself. Yeah, he wants man to depend on him, to trust him, and to believe him. So he does not want man to question his wisdom and intelligence. So God wants man to just trust him. So if he says sit there, he wants man to sit there without asking, why do you say I should sit? Yeah. So just as he said, don't eat of that fruit. Yeah. And he wants them to just obey and not eat of the fruit of the good, of the knowledge of good and evil. He wants them to just obey like that. But man could not, they could not do that. They were deceived by the serpent. And the serpent told them that you people are not actually going to die. You will just be like God and all of that. And that was how they had, and they were disconnected from God. So that death was bad. That death actually means disconnection from God. When God said, the day you eat of this fruit, you will die, it means that the day you eat, you will lost, or you will lose my presence. Yeah, I will be far from you. And that alone means that we lost immortality. So the presence of God in the Garden of Eden was what, you know, was what gives man life, or was what was giving man life, and that is what was going to give man immortality. So the moment the spirit of man lost connection with God, that was how we begin to lose immortality up to now, that we are now dying, even though we're not created to die. I said the question number one is that what exactly does the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what exactly does that fruit did to man that makes his eyes open? And I think I've already answered that. I said he activated man prematurely. So man's eyes were opened to now become aware of himself. Yeah, whereas he was not to be aware of himself. He was to always be aware of God and not himself. He was not to look at himself. Yeah, that was how God created man. Yeah, so, and that was what opened the eyes of man. So, the eyes of man was not opened to himself. The eyes of man was opened to God and was to remain fixed on God. That was why they were naked in the Garden of Eden, And they didn't know that they were naked because their eyes were not opened to themselves. Their eyes were opened to God. Yeah, so they were not aware of themselves. Yeah, so and then the second question was, why would God not want man to know good and evil, since the name of that tree was the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? So why would God not want man to know good and evil? Yeah, and the answer is that God wants to be the judge. God wants to be the judge of good and evil in their lives. God wants to be the one judging, or maybe I should say determining, what is good and what is evil in their lives. And that is a very high level of relationship with God. That is a great privilege when you live by the wisdom of God, when it is God that is choosing for you what is good and what is evil. Not that you are the one knowing from yourself or from your mind that this is good and this is evil. So God want them to have known him. Yeah, to a point whereby his spirit in them will be the one judging what is good and what is evil, or will be the one telling them or showing them what is good and what is evil. Not that they will be the one knowing what is good and what is evil. I don't know if I'm getting the point. So which means that eventually Adam and Eve were still going to reach that point in their walk with God where they will be able to know what is good and what is evil. But this time around, it will be through the mind of God they'll be able to know what is good and what is evil. It will be through the Spirit of God they'll be able to know. It will be through the wisdom of God to be able to know what is good and what is evil, not through their own wisdom and intelligence. Yeah. So they were still actually going to be activated, but it was to be in a very high level. Yeah. But they were deceived to want to be awakened prematurely. That was how they fell. So God wants to be the one in them judging. He wants to be the one in their minds judging what is good and what is evil. Yeah, he doesn't want them to be the one to determine what is good and what is evil. And if you look at the generation of mankind today, you will see how majority of people are not living right before God, and they are so happy about it. Yeah, they are not obeying God's instructions, and they are so happy about it. And the reason why they are not obeying God's instructions is that they felt that God's instruction does not make sense. They felt like God is not wise enough to be telling them to do this and not to do this. So they felt that they know more than God to follow his instructions. So they feel like if God said don't do this, they feel like God is unfair to have tell me to love my enemies. God is unfair to have tell me not to take revenge. Yeah, because God said, don't take revenge, don't retaliate. God said in his word, he said, vengeance is mine. I repay. Just let me fight for you. You don't take revenge. You just forgive and continue to love your enemies. So some people feel like God is unfair to be given such kind of laws and instructions. So they feel like it doesn't make sense. They feel like it is foolish for God to be telling them that this is how they should live their lives. So to tell you that us, we've been awakened to know good and evil was actually for our own destruction. I mean, we've been awakened in the Garden of Eden to know good and evil actually brought destruction upon humanity. Yeah, because our judgment of things and situations is weak and wicked and unrighteous and ungodly. So many times we consider what is good. I mean, we consider what is evil in the sight of God as good. And we consider what is good in the sight of God as evil. To show you that we don't actually know what is good and what is evil. So, I believe you get the point now. So, God wants to be the one judging or determining what is good and what is evil in our lives or to us. He wants to be the one pointing at, okay, this is good and this is not good. Yeah, but man went ahead of God to get awakened onto darkness and not onto light. That was how we lost God's presence. Yeah, because from that moment, our reasoning was corrupted. The way we reason, from the moment man ate that fruit, the way we reason changed. The way we see life changed. The way we perceive God and understand God changed. So everything literally changed. So we literally become dark. Our spirit became dark instantly when man ate that fruit. Yeah, and God could not continue with us again. Because at that point, God knows that he no longer has a place in the life of men. So because men have rejected him. Yeah, because men want to become like God. That's actually the point. Men want to become like God. To take decisions on their own. To make decisions by themselves. Without considering whether it is the will of God, it is in line with the will of God or not. So men want to become like God. That was why we lost the presence of God in Eden. And that presence of God in Eden, which is by the Spirit. That presence of God was in the Spirit and by the Spirit. So the Spirit God gave man was the medium or the platform through which God was relating with man in the Garden of Eden. And it was very physical. Man was in the Spirit and man could see God face to face. Man could talk with God. Man could fellowship with God face to face. It was physical in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, but because we became corrupt because we ate of that fruit, we lost that presence. And it means we lost immortality because that presence was to give us, was to make us live forever. Yeah, so let's look at, there are still other scriptures here. I believe you now understand why God did not want us to eat from that fruit. Yeah, I believe you now understand. Yeah. So let's look at another scripture in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Yeah. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Yeah, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Yeah, remember that that tree of life was also in the Garden of Eden. And man was cast out of that garden. As I said earlier, we were not told in the scriptures that Adam had been eaten of that tree before they were cast out. But I think they must have been eaten of that tree. Yeah, or maybe they were about to eat of the tree before they were cast out. I don't know. But what I know from this Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, is that eating from the tree of life was going to make man live forever. Yeah, so maybe you can look at it this way. Maybe you can look at it this way. I'm not saying that is the what I'm about to say now does not mean that is the way it is in the kingdom of God. I'm just speaking an example. I'm just assuming, yeah. And this is what I'm about to say. You can look at it this way, that maybe a single fruit of the tree of life will make you live for the next 1,000 years. I'm just taking an example. Like, let's say you eat of the tree of life today. It means the life that that tree will give you would make you live for the next 1,000 years. And then after 1,000 years is completed, you are going to eat another fruit. And then it makes you live for another 1,000 years. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying that is how it is. Yeah. So the tree of life was placed in the garden to continue to make man immortal. That was what that tree was meant to do, to continue to give man immortality. And the fruit of that tree is connected to the spirit, that God breathed into man, the spirit that make man a living soul, which is your spirit. Yeah, the spirit that is inside you right now. That is the spirit that was giving man immortality. So the fruit of the tree of life was like maybe an energy booster, if I can put it that way, that will make your spirit to make you continue to live forever, to make you unable to die. Yeah, I believe you're getting the point now. So the more they eat from the tree of life, the more their spirit makes them continue to live forever. And now Jesus is saying that Jesus is saying in this Revelation 2 verse 7 that he has that tree in God's paradise, and that he is going to give anyone that overcome, meaning that anyone that overcome the temptations of this world, the wickedness in this world, the evil in this world, the sin in this world, anyone that overcome the works of the flesh and eventually make it to heaven or make it to paradise, Jesus said he will give them to eat from the tree of life, you know, so that they will live forever. So now Jesus have that tree, and he can give anyone that overcome access to eat of that tree, and by eating of the tree, you will not die. Yeah, and we also have the river of life. Yeah, we also have the river of life, or you can say the living waters. So if you drink from that river also, you will live forever. So there's a lot in the kingdom of God that gives, a lot of things in the kingdom of God that gives life to your spirit. But I believe all the angels in heaven, they have immortality because the environment they are in is an environment of life, an environment of eternal life. So it gives them that energy, that life energy, to continue to live without dying. Yeah, so the same way, if we are in the kingdom, the life in the kingdom is meant to give us immortality. So which are in form of fruits. Yeah, fruits, like there's a tree of life and there's fruits. So maybe you are just walking by and then you see this fruit, then you pluck it, you eat, and then you can live for the next 1,000 years. So just look at it that way. So your relationship with Jesus, both now and after now, gives immortality. Yeah. So which means that Jesus might decide, let's say for instance, you walk so closely with Jesus here on earth, to the point that Jesus felt like he should give you of the fruits of the tree of life to make you unable to die. Yeah. It's possible. Because we were told of men like Elijah, men like Enoch, who walked with God and did not die physical death. So meaning that somehow they got something from the tree of life. Yeah, somehow they were given access to the tree of life. And because of that, it became a sin for them to die. It became impossible for them to die. So, but my point is that your spirit is what does it. Yeah, your spirit is what does it. So if a life from God's kingdom is so injected into your spirit to a certain level, you might not die anymore. That's the point I'm trying to bring up from. That's the summary of what this point is all about. You know, the point I'm speaking on right now says your spirit holds the mysteries of immortality. The summary of this point is that there's a measure of life from the kingdom of God that will be injected into your spirit, and your spirit will not allow you to die. I mean, you will just move from this body, from your body, you will just enter into eternal life or enter into heaven with this same body without having to die at all. That is the point I'm trying to bring out. That there's a measure of life from the kingdom of God that will be injected into your spirit, and your spirit will make it difficult for you to die a physical death. And you will just cross from this dimension into heaven like Elijah, like Enoch, and like some other people that their names did not appear in the Bible. Yeah, that is my point. So, and it's possible because your spirit holds that mystery of immortality. So now you might be asking that, how can I walk with God to have that kind of privilege? Yeah. It's what I know is that those who were given that privilege were not given because they don't want to die. They were given because they were so close to God, to the point that they have drank too much life from God, and eventually they could not die again. So it's not as if they were like, God, I don't want to die, give me immortality. No. So meaning that they were not people who care so much about their lives. They were not people who were afraid of death. So because they were afraid of death, they don't want to die. No. They were not people like that. And they were not people that, because they have too much riches and wealth in this world, they now want to stay in this world for thousands of years and not die. No, they were not people like that. So they were people who actually consider God above their lives. They don't care about themselves anymore. They just want to know God, and they are just so close to God, and they are just drawing life from God, and they are not doing that with the intention that they don't want to die. They were not doing that. They were not drawing closer to God because they want because they don't want that physical death, or because they wanted immortality. No, they just want God. That's all they want. And they just want to get all of God. And eventually, they got too much of life from God that they couldn't die physical death again. So it's more of what happens after your, what happens because, this matter of immortality without physical death is a matter of what happens because you have become so close to God. You have drunk too much life. I used the word too much because I felt they have drank life. They have gotten a level of life that is beyond what normal people will get from God. So and that automatically change them into another person. So it is not similar to what happens at a rapture. You know, the Bible told us that at a rapture, that Jesus, there will be a sign that will appear in the sky. And after that sign appears, the archangel is going to blow a trumpet. I don't know if you have read that in your Bible. I think it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Yeah. He said the archangel will blow the trumpet. And then those who are alive and are still in Christ, they are alive on earth, and they are still in Christ. It says they would suddenly be changed. You can read it. I think 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. Yeah. It says they will suddenly be changed. So their mortality will disappear or turn to immortality in a twinkle of an eye. And they will just catch up with Jesus in the air. It says, that scripture says, or that scripture says, the dead in Christ will rise first. But my focus is on those that have not died at that time when rapture will take place. It says that they will be changed in a twinkle of an eye. So that is what I'm talking about. So a kind of change that happens to you where you just suddenly lose mortality and then you just suddenly put on immortality, that and then you just are being transported out of this world. Yeah, that is exactly what I'm talking about. So that kind of experience has happened to some people. And we know of Enoch, and we know of Elijah. So meaning that they get raptured out of this world. Yeah, so that is just an example of what I'm talking about. So it is possible, depending on how much life that is being injected into your spirit. So immortality is possible. And as a matter of fact, there was a place in the scripture where Jesus was talking to the disciples. He was saying that he was talking about John, Apostle John. He was talking in parables. Yeah. And the conversation went like this. The other disciples were saying, Lord, what are you going to do about this disciple that you love so much? Because there is this connection between Jesus and John. Even when Jesus was still alive, I mean, Jesus was still in the world before he went to heaven. There's this closeness between Jesus and John the Beloved. Yeah. So the other disciples were like, maybe Jesus has something special for this guy that is always sleeping, he's always putting his head on the chest of Jesus. He's always very close to him. Maybe Jesus has something special for this guy. So when Jesus, after he had resurrected from the grave, when he appeared to the disciples, they were asking that, what are you going to do about this guy that you love so much? And Jesus was speaking to them in parables. Jesus was saying, if I decide to keep him and not make him die, what is your concern? Like, I can decide to keep him and not make him die till my second coming. I don't know if you have read that place in your Bible before. Jesus was talking to them in parables that I can choose to keep this man till when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. I mean, to when Jesus will come back and reign on earth for I think, is it not 1 million? No, not 1 million. I think for 1,000 years. Yeah. For 1,000 years. So Jesus was saying, I can choose to keep this man alive to that time. And yeah, and if I decide to do that, what is your concern? Something like that. I'm going to look at that scripture and show it to you. To tell you that Jesus has that ability to give immortality. Yeah, because he himself is life. He said, I am resurrection and life. Yeah. Let us also read the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I read, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Yeah, so that is also a confirmation that your human spirit holds the mysteries of immortality. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, which of course you know that the Holy Spirit is in your spirit, and the Holy Spirit is working through your spirit to change you into a new creature, and to change not only you, to change everything in your life, to fall in line with God's plans. Yeah, so that's that Holy Spirit in you can, through your spirit, give life to your mortal bodies. Have you ever felt so weak in your physical bodies and immediately you began to pray in the spirit or worship in the spirit, and then you began to feel so energized? Sometimes even your sickness disappears. Yeah, that is immortality. Yeah, that is immortality. So your spirit has ability to give life to your physical bodies. Yeah. I remember one day I was feeling very sick in my body, and my wife was asking that how am I doing. I said I'm recovering, that I just need to spend more time in the spirit and the sickness will go. Yeah, and she was now joking that then you have to go and spend enough time in the spirit, because I want you to be fine. Yeah, so and that is just my own personal experience. So I realized that if I'm weak in the body, I just need to spend time in the spirit, and that weakness will disappear. Yeah, so many times I don't take drugs. I just need to spend time in the spirit. So why? Because there is immortality in my spirit. So it will give life to my physical bodies. And the life will reach a point, I mean, the life that my spirit is giving to my body will get to a point that the weakness will just disappear, or the sickness will just disappear. Yeah. and I won't just find it again. That's my own personal alive. Yeah. So, and you can try it. If you are weak or you are sick, just start doing spiritual exercises. Start worshiping in the spirit, praying in the spirit. You will literally see life coming from your spirit into your body. And before you know it, you are okay. Yeah. So, and what, I mean, you just suddenly becoming healed or strong, that is immortality. Practically, that is immortality. It shows that there is a life in your spirit that kills death. Because we fall sick because of death, because we have been cursed in the Garden of Eden. God said, you were taken out of the dust and you shall return the dust. That is a curse. And that is why we are dying today. So all these sicknesses, weaknesses, they are agents of death. Yeah. Weaknesses, sicknesses, they are all agents of death. And they are the reason why we die. Yeah. So we fall sick, we get weak because we have been cursed with death. Yeah. That is why we fall sick and that is why we get weak. Yeah. Otherwise, we are not supposed to be weak. And we are not supposed to be sick. Yeah. So, I believe you have gotten the point. So, which means that the more spiritual you are, the more you might not fall sick at all. Yeah. So, let me look at, let us look at another scripture then, around off. There are still like three scriptures I want to talk about in this point. Genesis chapter 5 verse 24. Genesis chapter 5 verse 24. Yeah, I've said it. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Yeah. And I said it. I said, he walked with God to the point that he was transformed to a personality that can't live in this world anymore. Not that he walked with God because he wants God to take him out of this world. He walked with God, and his walk with God changed him into a new person that can't stay in this realm again. Yeah. So, and I think God is waiting for Christians that would walk with him like Enoch. Yeah. Yeah. Not that I'm repeating this so that your mindset will be pure. Not that Enoch was walking with God so that he would disappear. No. He was walking with God, you know, to get all. To get all that is in God. Yeah, he was walking with God so deeply and so closely. And then as he is walking with God, or as he was walking with God, he was getting changed, which is what walking with God does to us. As we walk with God, we get changed into his likeness. As you get closer to God, you get changed into his likeness. You you change to become like God. Yeah, so let's say Enoch walked with God to the point that he changed into a personality that cannot stay here again. Yeah, maybe let's say he's too pure to stay here, to remain here, because this world is so full of darkness, so full of death. Yeah, so it was not only man that was cursed, even the earth was cursed. Yeah, the earth was cursed with death too. Yeah, because the environment God placed Adam was an environment that has life too. Yeah, so even the atmosphere of this world is evil. I'm saying this as a spiritual person who have seen the level of darkness that is in this world and the level of death that is in this world. So this world is more like covered with hell. How will I put it? You know, the science says, I'm going to round off at this point because I know I've spent over an hour. But let me round off with this. You know, science says that the earth is spherical. The earth is spherical like a ball. Now, I want you to look at it this way. Look at it like as the whole world is. The whole world is buried in hell. That revelation that I have about the darkness that has captured the world, according to Isaiah chapter 16, that says, gross darkness has covered the people. So, I saw that the whole world is buried in hell, which means the whole world is buried into death. Yeah. Yeah. So usually if anyone will walk with God at this time, the way Enoch walked with God, I don't think that person will be allowed by God to stay so long here on earth. Eventually, God will have to take that person out of this world. Yeah, so let's say the world as at the time of Enoch, let's say that world also was so much conquered by darkness. And God felt like, if I keep this man here, he will lose all this transformation. And then God just decided to take him. Yeah. So the same with this present one. So that is why I said God is looking for Christians that walk with him as Enoch walked with him. Yeah. So that he can use those kind of people to give life to this dead world. So everywhere is just dead. Everywhere is full of death. Everywhere is conquered by hell. That was why Jesus said that he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Yeah. He said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So which means that hell is here. Hell is walking in this world. So everywhere is dead. Everywhere on earth is full of death. That is why almost everything happening in the world is pulling you out of God's presence, pulling you out of the realm of the spirit. Almost everything in this world, even when you open your phone, almost everything is making you to become carnal. Almost everything is bringing you out of the spirit into the flesh. to tell you that this world is dead, and this world has been swallowed up by death and swallowed up by darkness. Yeah, that is what it means. So and that is why it is important that we will walk with God as Enoch walked with God, so that the generation of people that will walk with God like Enoch will be the generation of people that will give life to this dead world. And maybe some of those people might also end up like Enoch. We don't know, but we really need people that will give life to this dying world. Yeah, and that will bring people out of hell. Because we are actually in hell. That's the truth. Everybody is in hell. Everybody in this world, except those that are in the spirit. So people that eventually go to hell, they have already been in hell before they died. Yeah. So going to hell is not something that you are not sure. You are sure that you will go to hell even before you die. Yeah. It's not about, oh, I'm not sure whether it's heaven. It's a lie. A real Christian will know that he's going to hell, and he will know that he's going to heaven. You will know by how you live your life here. You will know by how much you live in the flesh and how much you live in the spirit. You will know. Yeah, so practically, billions of people are already in hell. So when they die, they just go to hell to, you know, to finish the journey. Yeah, that's just the point. Yeah. So, and also people that will make heaven, they're already in heaven. They just eventually go to heaven to finish the journey. Yeah, that's the practical thing. I pray God will give you more understanding, especially that you choose to live a life of Christ at this time, that you know, that God will help you to walk with Him as Enoch did. Yeah, if you have questions, you can put it on our Telegram platform. And let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. We thank you for revealing to us how our spirit, which is your breath in us, for it is by your breath that we became living souls. We thank you for showing us how our spirit gives immortality, because your spirit is in us. Thank you, Father. We also thank you, Lord, for making us to realize how we need to live in this dead world, in this dark world, in this dying world. Father, we ask that you help us to live the life that would lead us into eternal life. Father, help us to live such a life in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, help us to have deep hunger for you and you alone, such that we will no longer be slaves to the evil and wickedness that is in this world, even slaves to death that is in this flesh and that is in this world. Oh Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to live a life that is so consecrated unto you. Lord, help us to live such a life in Jesus' name. Help us to make you our greatest priority. Help us to make you all that we seek in this world. Help us, Father, in Jesus' name. I ask, O God, that through your Holy Spirit, bring revival to everyone hearing my voice right now. Through your Holy Spirit in them, oh Lord, cause a great revival inside of them in Jesus' name. I pray for you that every deadness, death and deadness in you shall be destroyed by the life of the Holy Spirit that is in you right now in the name of Jesus. And you shall see practically the life of God rise from within you and take you from the realm of death into the realm of eternal life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.